methadone.
Methadone.
Yeah.
That's the fudge pops. They're my methadone.
Ready, Ronnie?
Yeah.
Romans 6.
Ronnie's having a good day today. Don't support
him. Oh, you shouldn't see it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. 18, we studied, but it's being then made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. And in ancient Israel, after the law was given, the main thing that, if you read the Old Testament with any understanding at all, you'll understand that the main purpose of Israel and everything that went on with Israel was to protect the integrity of the seed of Abraham. And so there were all kinds of things that seemed to be the most violent things in the universe. To wipe out every man, woman, and child. That if even one of your nearest kinsmen entice you to go after an idol, you were to kill him. And it's, you know, you can't apply that to modern society, because its purpose was different. Its purpose then was an external battle to protect the seed of Abraham, the bloodline. And that was only a parable for us to see something. And so here, the difference between yielding your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. What does that mean? Iniquity in the New Testament is the word anomia. It means without the law. And we're talking about the law of God now. Anomia. And it must come to your attention. Let's go over to chapter 8 a minute of Romans. Verse 4. For that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind or give breath to the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. And all that carnal minded means, it means what your mind, what your senses see, what your mind tells you. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, does anybody have any doubt what the carnal mind is? Can you think a thought that is not your carnal mind? Can you have an emotion that isn't from your carnal mind? Anybody? Listen carefully. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. There neither can indeed can it be. So the carnal mind is anomia. The carnal mind, by definition, not by what it thinks, by what it is enmity against God. Therefore, it is unrighteousness and leads to iniquity unto iniquity. And so all your religion comes down to how you respond to stimuli. And the scriptures are clear in how we respond. We wait. We never, the believer should never, ever once make a decision. No matter what it appears, no matter how crazy everything else thinks. And again, to take it back to the type in the Old Testament, everything was to protect the seed. They had to do all these incredible things. They had to, all the males had to appear three times every year, no matter where they were in the world, in Jerusalem, and present themselves. They had to go through all these elaborate cleansing ceremonies before they could even be subject to any of the sin or trespass. Then they had to go through the sin offering outside the camp. Then they had to go through the trespass offering outside the camp. And finally they made the peace and the meat and the burnt offering inside. But the whole picture of the Old Testament is to show you something. And it's to show us something that we cannot ever trust or respond to our carnal mind. You can't gain anything from it. You can't learn anything from it. There is nothing that it can do that will benefit you. Now, the picture of how we then live is back in Numbers. And we've studied this many times, but I've... And the Numbers gives us a guide of how we live. That's what its purpose was. So go to Numbers 15. Excuse me, Numbers 9, I'm sorry. Huh? Numbers 9, verse 15. Now you've got to hear this. The same as we talked about yesterday, that the high place activity in Israel was permitted until the temple was dedicated. The type of the high place activity that was going on in Israel is what goes on in your mind. And if you don't believe it, that's what the entire book of Ecclesiastes is about. Now, once the temple was dedicated, then everything, a new reality had to come into your life. A new thing. So listen carefully. Numbers 9, verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, or dedicated, if you will, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. And so it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. And again, now notice, he calls the movement of the cloud, or the fire, it wasn't really fire, it was the appearance. He calls the appearance of the cloud and the appearance of fire as the commandment of the Lord. In the next verse, look. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. Now, do you have any doubt that you are the tabernacle of the living God? That's what the word temple means in the New Testament. If you have any doubts that you are the tabernacle of the living God, then none of this will make any sense to you. And if you haven't dedicated, if the temple or the tabernacle has not been reared up, i.e. has not been dedicated, then none of this will make any sense. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched As long as the cloud was abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And again, you got to hear this. They rested no matter what their senses told them. They were in the middle of a desert. Their senses would be, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go this direction. Let's go that direction. Let's go anywhere except rest. That hasn't changed. Your senses will do everything except tell you to rest. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, or 40 years, or 100 years. I added that. That the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Now, there is nothing in your life that's more important right now than understanding this. That the cloud was symbolized options or doubt in your mind. You have more than one option. If you have to think about it, you've used the iniquity to try to gain something that's blessed. At the commandment of the Lord, when the cloud is down, you rest. No matter what it appears to anybody else, no matter what it appears to your senses, because that is the evidence that you understand this mystery of God. They that wait upon the Lord. Now, how many times since you said that you've dedicated the temple, have you risen above the cloud? It's time for that to stop. You got to hear this. This is the guidance. Who would have ever guessed that the guidance was having to make a decision? If you have to make a decision, you don't do anything. Go to 2 Thessalonians now. Chapter 2. Anybody have any response to this? You've heard it before, but I don't think you heard it.
Yeah, for the resting, is, you know, part of waiting, you know, is one thing, but waiting and resting.
You can't wait with the mind of a Gentile.
And it's a command. You know, it's like that's part of what, you know, that's the way it works.
That's what, every time you see the commandment of the Lord in the New Testament, that's what it is.
We're hearing it two ways. One individually and one as a body. You know, like typically it's a body. It's always in the plural, they, the children of the Lord. It's always them. Within that, within any group, there's always, well, let's do this, let's do that, but
can't do it.
In anyone, just like we run the foundation, if there's doubt in anyone.
This is why we run it that way.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the picture. We've done that for so long, it just seems natural and right.
Oh, no, it's because I have a strong personality and everybody's afraid of me. That's what we're doing.
Well, there's that too.
Crap. Lily-livered pussies. Excuse me.
Yeah, but that only lasts for so long.
Let no man, chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And how does he do that? At the very core, he does it because he rises above the cloud. Same thing, the five I ams of Satan in Isaiah. Anyway. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And what is he that withholdeth? What's keeping us from the mystery of being completed? You and I, by rising above the cloud. How many thousand obstacles has God placed in your path? And how did you wrestle with them and rise above the cloud instead of waiting on him? And you couldn't wait because circumstances told you you couldn't. And everybody agreed with you. You got to do this. You got to take action. I've heard that so many times since I've been a believer that I can't even count them anymore. The ones closest to you. You got to do this. Verse 7 now, for the mystery of iniquity doth now work. And that's what it already wears, is the word now. For the mystery of iniquity doth already or now work. And only he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Or in better, another translation, until he be revealed and ignored. Now, this thing of the mystery of iniquity, now, that's the great transgression, the mystery of iniquity. And it's self-seeking. Protection of self under any guise.
Did you say revealed and ignored? Is that what you said?
I don't know what I said. You have to listen to the tape. But you know who the Antichrist is, but you ignore that you know it. And you still rise above the cloud daily. And you get all upset when you can't make a decision. And it's the Holy Spirit telling you to wait. Let's go to Matthew 7. Little more on this mystery of iniquity.
I thought you meant that's the respect the man of iniquity deserves, you know, is to be ignored.
That's too.
Matthew 7?
I'm going to ignore that.
Verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit. Now the word corrupt is a technical word. It means that which is subject to time, that which changes or denigrates in time. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Now, the only time that fruit is ever used, I mean, it's defined, it's the personality of Jesus Christ. Love, joy, peace. This is the fruit of the Spirit. That's what he is. That's the only thing the fruit of the Spirit is the personality of Christ. manifested in a body. It has nothing to do with how many converts. That's apostasy. That's heresy. Christ was a terrible preacher then because he only had 12 converts at the end. And then those left him. And here's the point. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now that's pretty heavy. Let's go to Psalm 2, I think. Well, I'll find it later. It's what Christ is quoting Psalm 2 when he said that. Or one of the Psalms. I can't remember which one it is right now. Can you get it? That this brain is neither good nor bad. But the mind is not subject to the law of God. It's enmity against God. Enmity means it's. You remember we've talked about that many times. Enmity means it's so strong that enmity that one has to die. It's worse than hatred.
That neither indeed can it be. It really blows up at me because that's the clincher. Possibility.
Well, unless you think now that you have a redeemed mind because you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, then you can ignore all this stuff. Now, when it talks about in Romans, back to Romans 6, to close the loop here.
What's interesting about what you just said, nobody in this room would say they believe that, but it doesn't matter what you say.
That's right.
If you live that way, you believe that.
Verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. Now the word members there, remember, is not just it's everything about you, but it's your mind, but it's also talking about it's an I and an we at the same time. And the reason that this thing, you've heard me say often, people go to the church of their choice and expect to be moved by God. But the reason you go to the church of your choice is because you go where people are like you, that have the same way, reason that you hang around with certain people. Your idols don't clash.
Faith mold.
This is everything. It's how, you can say you believe that till hell freezes over, but if you keep rising above that cloud, then it's meaningless.
Yeah, the picture I was getting was going back to the blasted and destroyed Tower of Babel and saying, you know, I think we can really make it work this time. You know, the whole thing is completely destroyed and everybody's can't communicate, and they're, you know, you're trying to get stuff together to put the bricks back on top of each other and try and make something happen with this old man. It's not going to work.
Anybody have any questions? Anybody see it new?
Yeah, a couple of things really hit me. One is what you said about enmity. It's not just hatred. It's not laying back, minding my own business, and if you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. It's aggressive, active, destructive hatred. It is trying to destroy God at every move. It's not passive.
Remember that, for those of you that have been here a while, when we studied blood guiltiness?
Yeah, I remember.
You do remember? And tell us what it was.
I said.
Oh, you didn't remember. I misunderstood you. Blood guiltiness was one meant that the guilt was so heavy that you couldn't run to grab onto the horns of the altar for years to be free or to be safe. You had to go to a city of refuge. It was the only place you could be safe from death. And the purpose of the city of refuge was to, you know, my opinion was to show what really the purpose of the body is. We're all guilty of blood guiltiness. That means premeditated murder. And we premeditate murder. Remember, to hate is to withhold. To murder is to withdraw. That's pretty heavy.
The other thing that grabbed me was the very first thing we read, the very first words in the scripture was on the day that the tabernacle was reared up. That story, that whole concept, just I get goosebumps thinking about. It wasn't man. Man didn't know what to do. They were just sitting there going, what in the hell is this? And it reared itself. But it stopped 18 times, and Moses had to agree in prayer.
If you don't know what he's talking about,
just mind-boggling.
Each element of the tabernacle was constructed in the wilderness by cunning workmen. But there were no instructions how to construct it. In the Hebrew, it says on the third month the tabernacle reared itself. You can imagine what Mrs. Moses was saying for those 3 months. Get that damn stuff out of here. We're done. Take a big guy.